will show up, and if not, we're going to teach the word and sit. Go ahead and stand up. This is church calisthenics is what this is around here. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight again in the name of Jesus. Father, we are grateful tonight that we have entrance with you. We can have a meeting with you. Wow. A meeting with you along and around your word, Father, what you have said. A meeting with you after we teach in prayer, what you are saying to us, and as we yield ourselves to pray effectively. Father, I thank you for this hour that we're here together with you tonight. It's going to be a night of impact for us, a night of revelation, a night of impartation from the Word and by your Spirit. Father, because we're in your house, we believe you that you're working in our house. As we come together in this corporate setting, we believe that you're working in our physical setting, in our house, in our business, in our bodies, in our minds, our wills, our affections, our emotions. Father God, we thank you tonight as we seek first your kingdom. You said you'd add all things to us that we need for righteousness, godliness, for things that cause holiness in our lives, for things that cause the kingdom of God to become real to us, our family, our loved ones, our church. So, Father, tonight, we set apart this hour as consecrated, holy, dedicated to you, and we do it with great expectation in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Come on, just turn around, give somebody a hug, a handshake, do something nice to somebody. Tell them, man, you guys just look great tonight. Wow, you look great. Amazing. Amazing. Great grace. That's what you say. Man, you got just great graces all over you tonight. Wow. Praise the Lord. Find a place where you want to be tonight. Glory to God. We are thrilled that you're here with us. Welcome on a San Diego summer night. Wow. It has been hot out there, hadn't it? Praise the Lord for air conditioning in the cars. Amen. Hey, we've been talking on Wednesday nights about a thought for the last couple weeks just called the working of the Holy Spirit. If you've been with us, our kind of jump-off scripture has been in Acts chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Why don't you turn there by way of reminder, Acts 4, 7 and 8, talking about the working of the Holy Spirit. And specifically, the specifically, if you will, is what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? I believe with all my heart there's got to be a tangible result, a noticeable difference when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've been around the church for a while, you'll pick this up from my jargon. It's the way I think about this. It's debatable. It's just really terminology. People just like yourself, like me, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak with other tongues. Hope you do too. If you don't, we'll pray for you tonight, and we believe you will. But that's a Bible pattern. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. We use different words along those lines. Filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. And so when we think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, again, I just think, of course, being filled with the Holy Spirit means you're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? There's a cap. If you're, a quart's got 32 ounces. So if there were 16 ounces in a quart bottle, it would be a pint. It wouldn't be a quart. It would be half full, right? Right? And so, again, just semantics for me, if you will, and it's debatable, but just, again, so that we all maybe can join with me and where I'm kind of going during these lessons is that something happens when we're filled that might not happen when we're half filled. I think we think different. I think we act different. I think we expect different when we're filled. And I know there have been times in my life, and I bet you're the same, when you go, there in that time, I wasn't filled. I made a wrong choice. I said a wrong thing. I acted a wrong way. I let something else affect me. If I was filled, I would have probably done something a little different. I would have acted a little different. I would have believed a little different if I was filled. And the good news is we can make sure that we keep putting gas in the tank, so to speak, and keep staying filled. We've talked about that before on how we can do that. And you've made just a great choice tonight being in church, because being in church is going to help you stay full. Come on, everybody. Glad that you're here. So here's our jump-off scripture, Acts 4, 7, and 8. Look what it says. And when this is Peter and John, and when they set them in the midst, they said, "By what power, by what name have you done this then, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit?" Come on, say, filled with the Holy Spirit. There you go, in unison. Y'all did really bad, but that's okay. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, the first thing we said is that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to start saying something you normally wouldn't say. People filled with the Holy Spirit just get bold. They're always got something to say. Again, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, again, not talking about not speaking other tongues. We're talking about just being full in the Word. You've got a fresh word to say. You've got a word to him who is weary. The person that's filled has always got something to say. We talked about that. But the jump-off point for us is the working of the Holy Spirit that it says here that this guy, Peter and John, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit was a noticeable difference. Something happened in their life and through their life, and that's just what we want for all of us. Amen? Something happens to us and something happens through us where, come on, God just comes out of our pores. God comes out of our eyes. God comes out of our hands. God comes out of our feet. God comes out of our mouth. God comes out of our heart. God comes out of our thinking, right? Everywhere we go. That's what's going on in the book of Acts. So come on, look at one more thing again tonight. We'll be looking at this for the next several weeks about what happens when you're filled with the Spirit. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Let's jump there. Romans 7, verse 6. And then the next several weeks, we'll look at scriptures in the book of Romans chapter 8. But tonight, Romans 7, 6, jump off point. Notice what it says. "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve." Notice this. "So that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." Notice what it says there. That people that are filled, really, I believe that we live life differently. We live on another plane. We live in another dimension. And he says here that we've been delivered from the law. We're not under the Old Testament law, but to rules and regulations. We've died to that. But here it is, "so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit." Notice that phrase. "So that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit." For me, the newness of the Spirit, fresh insights, ways to reach people, the gift of talent, the ability in our life, how God's wired us to serve. We do it with a freshness. We do it with a vitality. We do it with a strength. We do it with a belief that what we're doing is really going to matter. We're not doing it with just, you know, sorrow and dragging ourselves to church, or we're going out and we're downcast and, "What am I doing? It really doesn't matter." We're always Debbie Downer. You know, what does it matter? Me serving in the nursery. Well, I'll tell you what it matters is that while you're down there changing stinky pants downstairs, mom and dad are up here hearing the Word of God going, "Wow." Come on, somebody. Come on. That's what matters. When you shake a hand outside and you greet, and when you do the technical stuff all around that maybe nobody sees, all the stuff that joined together, and you serve God with your spirit, being full, serving God, comes into this corporate setting and it makes an eternal difference. Come on, day after day, week after week, month after month. Amen? Amen. Newness of spirit. We can serve in newness of spirit. And I believe that there's times again in my life where I just did it out of obligation. I showed up, I clocked in, I clocked out, right? Really not much heart into it. I'm sure I've done that. I probably preached some messages that way. Probably someone went, "That was a really terrible message." I'm sure. But I want to encourage all of us in doing what we're called to do is to do it in this thought here that we should serve in newness of spirit. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of joy, full of expectation, full of the love of God. Look at this scripture over in Matthew chapter 20. This is Jesus talking to a couple of his disciples came to him, and they wanted to sit at his right hand and a place in heaven. And Jesus started talking to them about, you know, "Can you do it?" And they said, "Yeah, we can do it." And he said, "Well, there's going to be a place for you." And so he says this in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. We'll read several scriptures in the New Living Translation. Jesus called the disciples together because they all got ticked at what these guys were doing and what they said. And he said, you know that the rulers of the world lord it over the people and their officials, and they flaunt. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Isn't that interesting? And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's an amazing thing to me that Jesus Christ, God, again, took on flesh. And what he came to do, really, you know, we talk about what he did is really his ministry was made up of teaching, you know, teaching, preaching, and healing. But if we could maybe summarize it all up in one word, we'd probably just say serving. Serving. He served humanity through his teaching. He served humanity through his preaching. He served humanity through his healing. What he did. And it says here again, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve and give his life. And so, again, just think with me for a second about whatever God's called you to do, gifted you, you know, to serve in. Whatever that is. Myriad of things. Is that I want to encourage you to just take some time. Tonight, this week, take some time. I mean, write yourself a note. That whatever I'm geared to do, God, I want to give myself to that. I want to give my life to that. So that through my life, I'll give my life in service that you've empowered me with now. It's not just me trying to do something. You've asked me, you've empowered me. But I want to give myself to that. That I can lay down my life just like Jesus did. And I believe in turn, you and I are going to see results through our serving that we've never seen yet. Never seen. If we'll do it in this manner in which Jesus did, and we'll talk about some specifics right now. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, 11. Notice what it says here, really quick scripture, but talks about us and how we should serve. It says really three quick points in Romans 12:11. Not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. What? Come on, help me with the last words, right? Serving the Lord, right? So the last phrase, I believe, is really the hook phrase for the first two phrases. Serving the Lord. That's what we're talking about doing. Serving the Lord in newness of spirit. Romans 7:6. In newness of spirit, but serving the Lord two ways here, he says. Number one, not lagging in diligence. Not lagging in diligence. So that means that ever how God's geared me to serve, I've got to be a student of that service. I've got to study how to serve in that area well. I've got to study. I've got to know people. If I'm going to be a musician, if I'm going to be a singer, I'm just not going to come up here and just hope I can sing. I'm going to listen. I'm going to train my voice. I'm going to be singing at home, hoping just not in the shower. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be practicing my craft, my skill. I'm just not going to come up here and play guitar on Sunday morning and hope, wish I hit the good note. I better be home cranking it out, man. Come on. I better be working it. If I'm going to teach kids, I want to make sure that I'm not just studying on Saturday night at 9:30. Hoping I can cram it so that I can regurgitate something. No, I want to learn my craft. I want to study. I want to better my... I don't want to lag in diligence. Diligence is up to me, not up to God. It's got nothing to do with God. It's got everything to do with me and you. Diligent. 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 I'm into fishing right now. Got a little kayak out behind the house, Otay Lakes. So I found this guy out in La Mesa, Lemon Grove. A little fishing tackle place called Barnacle Bill's. Come on, sounds like a fishing place, doesn't it? Barnacle Bill's. Well, Bill's, I believe, a believer. In Jesus' name, he's going to come to church sometime. But it was funny, the other day I called him on the telephone just asking about some stuff, and he said, man, I love you. Wow, pretty cool. So anyway, we've been talking about God, and, you know, got a chance to pray for him. So I'm asking him, how do you catch fish? I mean, I used to fish as a kid, you know, really 35 years ago in lakes in Tennessee. And so he hooked me up. He told me some stuff that I needed. And boy, oh boy, it's amazing what happens if you'll just be diligent asking the right people the right stuff. I didn't have the right equipment. You know, I could be all day long fishing my favorite lure and catching no fish. But because of just pursuing somebody that knows something, today I caught about a 4.5-pound bass. Amazing. It's in the freezer. We already had a couple this past week. Man, they were great. They're great. Man. And so, just diligent in finding out how I can be a better fisherman. Because I don't like to fish, I like to catch. I don't like to just do a job, I want to get better at whatever it is God's gifted you to serve. Does that make sense? Not lagging in diligence. Come on, tell somebody, don't lag in diligence. Don't lag in diligence. And then he says again there, really kind of, you know, with that, fervent in spirit. So that talks about that white hot. Fervent in spirit. Hot about what you're doing, right? Fervent about what you're doing. Come on, you're smiled up, you're energetic. If anybody's going to be happy doing what you're doing, it better be you, right? Everybody that shows up, every kid that comes down the children's ministry, every person on the outreach, whatever you're doing, you're just all in and you're all about whatever you're doing. I love the shows, any kind of show that somebody's passionate about, I'm just all about it. I like shows that, you know, all the real life stuff now where somebody's going to restore a house or somebody's going to restore an old chopper or somebody's going to get a beat up truck and they're going to make the beat up truck new, and they're just passionate about it. Their passion just spills over into your life. And so I want to encourage us that when we're serving, that we can control our diligence. We don't have to lag behind in diligence. And also, we can be white hot in our spirit, that it's just spilling over, that anybody that comes in contact with you, they just want to do what you're doing. They want to be around you. I believe Jesus was that kind of person. And I believe we can be that kind of people as well. And I believe we are. Man, I love our church. I believe that, man, our best days are days ahead. Come on, everybody. God's doing some amazing things here. And I want to encourage you to just keep your spirit clued in. Keep your spirit full, that we can serve in newness of spirit, whatever it is that God's called us to do. We don't got to keep dragging our past. We don't got to keep dragging our problems. When we come into the house of God and just in this place, come on, we can let shackles go, and we can be people. It's amazing when you let go of your stuff, how God will use you reaching somebody maybe with the same stuff. It's amazing. It's amazing. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians. No, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I want to read the Amplified. So if you find it, it'll say these three words, but the Amplified does what it says. It's going to amplify it. Notice what it says here. We have the screen behind me. Paul writes to this church and he says, "We are ever giving thanks to God for all of you. Continually mention you when we're engaged in our prayers. Recalling unceasingly before our God and Father," notice these three things: "your work, energized by faith, and service, motivated by love, and unwavering hope in return of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah." Notice these three things. He says, we're thanking God. Every time we think of you, we're thanking God. We're praying in our prayers. We're remembering your work, energized by faith, your service, motivated by love, and your unwavering hope, and then he says there, in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice those three words: faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, uses all three of those, doesn't it? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is, come on, help me, love, right? And here, the same writer, Paul, who wrote Corinthians, wrote this letter to the Thessalonians, and he uses these things, but he uses it in context of how they actually worked and how they served and how they gave their life or whatever it was that God had called them to do. And Paul says, I'm remembering. I'm remembering how you laid down your life. I'm remembering your energized faith. That whatever you did, I'm remembering that you were just all about it. That you were stirred in it. You were passionate about it. You were just energized in doing what God called you to do. And he says, now I also remember that it was almost, you were motivated by love. It wasn't you were trying to get brownie points. It wasn't that you were trying to, you know, cozy up to somebody. It wasn't that you were trying to get ahead, you know, who's the greatest. You were motivated by love. And then he says, I remember too, your unwavering hope. Your unwavering hope. There was just a steadiness about you, a confident expectation that what you're doing mattered. Because in light of Jesus' return, in the light of His return, that you are just all in. You're helping people. You're expecting that what you're doing is going to matter in light of Jesus Christ is coming back. What I'm doing here, I'm going to have to give an account one day, but what I'm doing here, I'm using my gift to reach somebody else. I want somebody else in the kingdom of God. And I want to further somebody in the kingdom of God a little bit further down the road. I want to use my life that way. And he says, I remember. It's causing me to pray. Every time I think about you, it just comes up giving thanks to God for who you are and for what you've done. Work energized by faith. So when we go through life and our work, spiritual work now, you know, natural work is a whole other thing, but spiritual work where it's like a drudgery. It's like, wow, and let me just bear myself with you here. I don't want anybody showing up at church just because they're filling a slot. We've had that before. We've had people come to church, and the only time they come up to church is when they serve. That's no good. You got to have people that are all into everything that's going on, right? What's going on? Everything that's going on. So you serve, and your serving is motivated by faith that you're hearing, not only in your private time, but also that you're hearing in the corporate setting. All right? So he says again, that your work energized, strengthened with the faith that man, God's working. Faith is moving mounts. Faith is moving stuff in my personal life. Faith is moving stuff in the teams that I'm working with. That we're praying together. We're connected. We're growing together. We're being developed. God's adding to us. God's increasing. Look, what we're doing is making a difference. We've got hope. We've got a confident expectation that what we're doing is mattering, not only for today, not only next week, but eternally. People's lives are being changed. Destinies are at stake. Come on, everybody. God's not playing games, is he? The devil's not playing games, right? And so we can't be playing games when it comes to what God's graced us to do. He says, again, that we should serve in newness of spirit. We're not serving out of obligation, not serving out of drudgery, not serving out of fear that God's going to condemn me or serving out of guilt. Gosh, I don't know, I feel like if I don't serve, God's going to just knock me in the head. Who wants to serve that way? We're serving out of newness of spirit. God's made a change in our lives. And so now we can have unwavering hope, knowing and expecting that God's working in us, He's working through us, and what we're doing really matters, right? I like there was a story about a Little League kid, and he was, trying to. Yeah, I don't know if you've probably been to the Little League games, and if you don't have your own kids or maybe grandkids or seen it, and the kids' uniforms, they're all baggy, their heads are on, their helmets are on sideways, they're just, it's a piece of work, man. It's just an amazing thing. And this kid is up there, and he's taking his bat, swinging, he's getting ready to go up. And a guy comes to the fence, one of the dads, and he looks at him and he says, well, what's the score? The kid looks up and he says, it's 10-0. And the dad looks at the kid and he says, wow. He says, you guys sure are getting beat. And the kid goes, not yet. We haven't even come up to bat. They're getting whooped 10-0, right? Bottom of the first or top of the first inning, right? But the kid's got hope, right? Come on, somebody. He's got expectation that this is going to change. Come on. I still got a bat, and we're gonna swing for the fences. So in everything we're doing, let's just serve God with an expectation that what we're doing has eternal benefit, but also natural benefit in people's lives right here, right now. Amen? Look at Galatians 5. A couple more scriptures here, then we're going to pray. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Everybody doing all right tonight? So we're not going to serve out of duty, not going to serve out of obligation. We're going to serve out of love. Energized by faith, motivated by love, unwavering hope. Look at this great scripture. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. You've been called to liberty. Or another translation says called to freedom. Only don't use your liberty, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, come on somebody, serve one another. Serve one another. So he tells us there that we're not to be people who just use the opportunity, use our freedom that, you know, well, I don't have to do anything. I'm not under the law. The law's a bunch of do's, a bunch of don'ts, a bunch of stuff you got to do. I'm under grace. I don't have to do nothing. That's crazy. Since we're under grace, we get to. We don't have to. We get to. God gets to use us. We get to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. We get to know the Word of God. We get to know the author personally. He gets, and he's living on the inside of us. Amazing. And so now our service, our serving, is motivated by love. Energized by faith. And our expectation is unwavering. Now, what we're doing really matters. What we're doing has eternal consequences. Everybody in the room probably can remember a teacher, probably when you were in grade school, baseball coach, football coach, soccer coach, ballet teacher, somebody who made just something about them. They went the extra mile. They were like over the top kind. Somebody maybe, even when you were older, that when you were in a really vulnerable spot, somebody was there and just spent time with you and really used their grace to serve you, laid down their life, just like we talked about Jesus. And there probably tonight, probably several of them, probably three or four or five different people, they're just printed on your heart. You could probably still see their face if it was a school teacher 40 years ago. Somebody that made a difference. Somebody that was there. Somebody that took you by the hand. Somebody that showed you what to do. Somebody, a children's church teacher, for some of you that were raised in church. I remember a guy, like I've told you a story before, this guy in junior high, he was assistant manager at McDonald's, and this guy, he'd smoke cigarettes, and you know, that's whatever. I mean, that was just where he was at, and he was teaching our junior high in this church, this denominational church. And he'd come and give us little free McDonald's French fries coupons. And so we just thought, dear God, this guy's like Santa Claus. I mean, who junior high wouldn't love a teacher bringing them free French fry coupons? I still remember him. He was just kind. He was considerate. He taught our class. I don't even know how he got to teach our class. But this guy was just there. He was a little bit athletic, and so he'd help us with our junior high basketball team. His name's Chad. I still remember him. I don't know what happened to him, you know, where he's at in life right now. But he just served, motivated by just love. And he was always there. I mean, he was just always there with a bunch of little crazy, little grunt, little junior high boys. Let me tell you, everywhere we go, in this church, whether your job is whatever it is, we can always do everything, with great hope, great love. Come on, somebody. Great hope, great love, great expectation. We can reach people. That's really what the passage is talking about. In newness of spirit, that we can demand that from our spirit, we serve, we give ourselves, and we make ourselves do what we know is right to do. We make ourselves. I'm going to live right. I'm going to speak right. I'm going to act right. I'm going to serve right. I'm going to give right. I'm going to pray right. And I'm not just talking about duty, but again, it's coming from us being full, being filled. And when you're filled, come on, life is a whole lot easier to go through. Amen? It's just a whole lot easier to go through. My clock says 7:30. That means prayer time. On Wednesday nights, here's what we're doing. We're calling it 30-30 for the next several, for about the next 2 months or so, all the way through the end of August. We're going to teach the Word of God for 30 minutes, and we're going to pray for 30 minutes. You think you can do that? Come on, you think you can do that? So come on, we're going to serve the Lord tonight, aren't we? Come on, stand up everybody. One way we can serve the Lord is we can serve the Lord through prayer. Wow, one of the greatest things we can do, and that's all.